Ramsey TV.
Well, the first thing I want to do is thank everyone for your kind and loving comments, your prayers, your well wishes for me and for Maria. She is now reading all your comments and responding, which I love. And she knows how important you are to me. And she knows how important I am to you. And it's a great thing. It's a really fantastic development. To console myself in my suffering, I've been watching like World War II videos. Just awful time in history, World War II. Not to mention all these other wars. There have been wars. So many wars. War after war after war after war. Death. Concentration camps. I just watched a video about the plot to kill Hitler. You can't blame the guys for wanting to do it, but they didn't know anything about Romans 13, that, you know, those who are in authority are put there by God. And yet Hitler just executed these men in the most horrific manner. And just there's nothing but, I can't say nothing but so much bloodshed and torture and agony and rape and destruction and death and agony and suffering in this world. And because of that, I cannot hide my righteous indignation against people who want this eon to continue, who are not looking for the return of Christ, who hypothesize that there must be 500 more years of this, and I'm talking mainly about my ex-friend, Clyde Pilkington, who is either criminally insane, which he's not, mentally compromised, like absolutely fucking crazy, which he's not, I know the man, or he's as innocent and naive as a two-year-old, and that he is. Concerning this eon and the evil thereof, and looking forward or not looking forward to Christ's return. You know all the verses I've given you. You know the doctrine of Otis Sellers, which is that every member of the body of Christ must die. And Clyde prays that this wicked eon go on another 500 years, which blows my mind. And I have a complete and total righteous indignation against that. And yet I know that the man who is promoting it is not criminally insane. He's not stupid. He just has the naivete of a two-year-old. He's a good man, a good husband, a good father. He's just in fucking la-la land when it comes to what's happening on the earth. Okay, he just doesn't get it. Doesn't feel it. Doesn't know it. Which is strange. I don't quite understand it. Because he's seen death. I mean, both his parents have died. And yet, he loves the current eon. I don't get it. But because I've been thinking about this eon and the diabolicalness of it, Paul calls it the current wicked eon. Paul calls it the current wicked eon. Clyde calls it the era of grace. That's what he calls it, the era of grace. My God, I thank Clyde for this, that he has disabused me of ever calling this the era of grace. It's not the era of grace. It's the era of death, suffering, and wickedness and evil. And demonism and idolatry that contains a message of grace. There is a beam of light going through the darkness of this world, and it's Paul's gospel. But Paul's gospel does not define this world. Are you crazy? No. Clyde's not crazy. Clyde Pilkington is not crazy. Just naive. Innocent as a baby. I know the man. I lived with him. I shouldn't share this information, but I will. He admitted to the fact that after watching the Sixth Sense. At the end of the movie, he didn't realize it the whole time. The dude was dead. Whoever the actor was, I'll put the name down here. I can do it. He's just innocent. He doesn't get it. He's naive. And because of that, he has deceived a few people, more people than I like, people who are my friends, into thinking that this is an age of grace and that Jesus is not coming anytime soon and that you're wasting your time, quoting him. Why waste your time looking to be delivered from your trials? I don't know, because my trials suck and I want to see Jesus. How about that? No. Not good enough. Clyde Pilkington and Steve Martin. I will name these names until the snatching away, because these people are ignorant and they're teaching wrong things to the ecclesia. Clyde Pilkington, Stephen Hill, Steve Martin, Dean Wilkinson, and Chris Carnahan, to name the five that I know of. They are deceiving you. I didn't call them deceivers because they have no idea they're deceivers. They think they're doing the right thing. They've gotten rid of grace, changed it to joy. They've made this eon one of happiness and fullness and grace, where it's called by Paul the current wicked eon. I'll go with scripture every time. Sorry, ex-friend. I'll go with the scripture every time. So, yeah. There is a wreath of righteousness awaiting those who are loving Christ's appearing. Clyde will never get that particular wreath. He'll get some kind of wreath. He'll get snatched away. He's in the body of Christ. He'll be surprised. I'll wave at him. Hey, woo! Guess it wasn't so great after all. Hey, look what's happening. I guess 1 Thessalonians 4 applied to us. So, all right, salute. Boom. Yeah, good. My God. Listen, I thank you. Jax, great comments. And my wife, Maria, responded to you. Linda Morris, great comments. Everybody else, if I started to try to name everybody, I couldn't. I just named these two. They're coming to my mind. But everybody that loves us, comments, I really appreciate it. I'm in continuous pain. I sent Waylon a picture this morning. I said, you want to see a picture of my throat? He said, sure. I said, you asked for it, and I sent it to him, and all he could say was, OMG. Yeah, no, you can't believe it. I will never show it publicly. My wife hasn't even seen it, because it's too much for her. I don't know what's happening. It seems to me they would have to clean it up before they do this immunotherapy. I don't know. But anyway, let's get to the scriptures. At a time like this, it's time to talk about the snatching away. Because what is the best topic in times like these? But we always start at 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I'm going to start at 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 1. For the rest then, brethren, we are asking you and entreating you. These words of Paul are my words to you. We are asking you and entreating you in the Lord Jesus that according as you accepted from us how you must be walking and pleasing God, according as you are walking also. See, Paul's saying we want to walk worthily of this call and we want to walk in love. Do I love Clyde Pilkington? Yes. Do I love Steve Martin? Yes. And my ex-friend Dean Wilkinson? Yes. My ex-friend Chris Carnahan? Yes, I love these guys. I want them to come to the truth, but they've all been deceived, and they're deceiving other people by making shows. Oh my God, it's terrible, but I love them. But Paul is very gracious here, accepting from us how you must be walking. Sounds pretty austere here and pleasing God, but then he says, according as you are walking also. So he's giving them credit for walking that way. That you may be superabounding yet more. How gracious is he? That you may be doing better than you are doing. He's giving them so much credit according as you are walking. And then he says that you may be superabounding yet more. In other words, I'm giving you a little more credit than you deserve, but I trust that you will be superabounding in good works, in love. And as shitty as I feel and I feel shitty. I'm as gracious as I can be to everyone. I try to be. With people I meet in the elevator, I say hello to them. I engage people. I tell the nurse who took my blood today, you did a great job. Thank you. You know? So, and I try to be as gracious as possible to my wife. We're under great stress. Please continue to pray for us. I love her. She loves me. We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. But this is the time of suffering God has now given me. It's a time of suffering. It's not a time of happiness or joy or contentment or peace. Well, it is a time of peace, but it is a time of suffering. And some of you are not having that time right now. Some of you might be having a good time, and God bless you. Enjoy it. If you're having a good time, if you're coasting, enjoy it. I've had times like that. Enjoy it, okay? Just ride it. Don't feel guilty about it, for Christ's sake. Don't feel guilty about things going well for you. God bless you. I'm glad. I'm happy for you. Suffering will come eventually, but I'm in it now. Let me tell you, it's just not a good time. These people went through World War II. Jeez, it's not a good time. Got people in concentration camps. Not a good time. Terrible. What? Look at these people's faces when they're liberated from Dachau. It's like, oh my God. Clyde wants more of it. Clyde wants more of it. I see videos of Dachau, and I see these prisoners' faces, and I see them being shot and tortured. And the first thing I think of, whenever I hear a siren, whenever I see a dead body on TV, whenever I hear of violence, whenever I watch a video of Dachau or Bergen Belsen or Auschwitz, all I can think of is Clyde wants it to continue. That's all I can think of. Every single time, I can't help it. Clyde Pilkington wants this to go on for another 500 years. That's what he wants. He wants it with all his heart. And it sickens me. And the man is either crazy or criminally insane or stupid as a loon. He's neither. Just innocent. He's naive. I don't know what's going on in there. It's almost like this innocent-eyed, like, oh, it must be good for you. Life's good for Clyde. Great. I'm happy life's good for you, Clyde. But out here, it ain't so fucking great. Not so great out here. No, it wasn't so great for the people in Dachau. Not so great for the people who plotted the death of Hitler. Not so great for those people. Not so great for the children who are in hospitals now, dying or being killed by chemo, whatever. Not so great. How about Christ returns? Wouldn't we be anxious for Jesus Christ to return, seeing as how all the signs are in place for him to return? But no, you have to grasp at straws. When I say straws, I mean like doctrines from Otis Sellers, who believes in eternal torment, free will, and the Trinity, and yet you look at his teaching of the premillennial kingdom, and you assume that everyone in the body of Christ has to die, which means we're going to live out our natural lives and we're all going to die some fucking putrid death, which Steve Martin thinks is beautiful. Steve, death is beautiful. Martin, that's my nickname for him now. Used to be a friend of mine, no more. His name is Steve, death is beautiful, Martin, because he told me, he wrote to me, after I said, what do you guys want, like to die in front of your grandchildren? Is that what you say, your goal in this eon? He responded to me, most people would think that would be beautiful. And so many of you have responded, hey, I watched my grandparents die. No, it wasn't beautiful. They were convulsing and drooling and in pain, and it was awful, the worst thing they ever saw. And I saw my dad die. It was one of the worst things I ever saw. And yet you think it's beautiful. What the hell happened to you people? Well, I don't know what happened to you people. You're not stupid. You're not insane. You're just naive as all get out. And I'm sorry about it. I pray for you, but I feel like I'm righteously indignant. And so to go against you, I'm going to read the snatching away passage. This is my salvo against your false teaching, against your apostasy, against your not loving the return of Christ, against your not saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus, against you not relishing in your expectation, but rather your expectation is not heaven, it's not to be raised, it's not to be made immortal. Your expectation is to die on earth with your family surrounding you. Oh, that sounds so nice, so sweet, so beautiful. But it's in light of what Paul tells us and in light of the reality of the world. Hey, you want to wear a Hawaiian t-shirt during Aeon 3? Go ahead, Steve Martin, wear a Hawaiian t-shirt. I guess I'm wearing pink. I just pulled a shirt out of the closet. I'm not feeling pink. I should have put on black. I feel like dressing black for the rest of the Aeon. Sorry, this is not my Aeon. Somebody made a coffee mug for me. It said, this is not my Aeon. And that's true. It's not my Aeon. It's your Aeon, Clyde. Steve Martin. Dean Wilkinson, who used to make sense. Used to get it. Chris Carnahan used to get it. Back in the day, this wasn't your Aeon. Now it's suddenly your Aeon. I don't know. What the hell's the matter with you guys? What was my question? I called Dean on the phone, as I told you. I said, what the hell happened to you? I don't know, Martin. Just dying gives me peace. To know that I'm going to die gives me peace. That's what the man said. Who said that, Martin? Dean Wilkinson. I called him from Peru last year. And I said, is it true what I'm hearing that you're going for this Clyde? These 15 sects that Clyde is backing? Like, you're in it? Like, you look forward to death? You've given up on the snatching away? Yes, Martin, I've given up on the snatching away. What I'm about to read to you, he's given up on it. Dean Wilkinson. I made some videos with this guy. He was totally into it. Been deceived. Completely deceived. Because he's a family man. This is the common denominator, sorry to tell you. Common denominator. All these people have children and grandchildren, and they apparently want to die in front of them. I don't see the attraction myself. Okay? I don't see the attraction of death at all, but if you people want to die, go for it. But unfortunately for you naive people, you're going to be snatched away with the rest of us very soon. And I'll look over at you and I'll give you a little wave and you'll go, yeah. Zender, shut up. And we'll all be glorifying Christ. It'll be all right. Don't worry. It'll be okay. Don't worry about it. It'll be okay. You'll be all right. I'll be all right. Just shut the hell up for now. Don't make any videos, okay? Do yourself a favor. Shut up. Don't teach on it. Do yourself a favor. Just enjoy your mortality. Enjoy your Aeon. Enjoy your prospect of death. Keep it to yourself. Don't teach on it, because then you'll be liable to some burning up at the dais of Christ. Yeah, that's what Paul says, the dais of Christ. There's going to be some people saved as through fire. Don't look at me. I'm quoting scripture. Martin, you think that the works are going to be burned up? You think some people are going to be awarded? You think some people are going to be paid according to their acts? Not me. It's Paul. Don't blame me. Ask him when you see him. Don't bother me about it. Don't criticize me about it. Don't bother me about it. Ask Paul when you see him why he wrote it. I'm just quoting what the guy wrote. Each one will be paid according to his acts at the day of Christ. Don't you dare question me about it. Okay. For you are aware what charges we give you through the Lord Jesus. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, your holiness. Yes, separateness. We're separate. That's nothing to do with behavior at this point. Paul's just saying the will of God for you is that you're separated unto him. Even you, Clyde, even you, Dean, even you, Steve, Stephen Hill, Steve Martin, Chris Carnahan. What the hell happened to you? You followed Dean or did Dean follow you? Who went down first? Who followed whom into the tomb? That's what I would like to know. Who followed whom into the, let's die before our grandparents, our grandchildren? Who went down first? Who got tricked first? Who got seduced out of the truth? This I want to know. Who has bewitched you? Oh, I know. Clyde Pilkington has bewitched you. That's too bad. You're being bewitched by a guy who said recently, and I quote, I've been terribly wrong about many things in the past, and I still am. I quoted that to you. I played the video. It's on a clip. I'm going to play it again soon. I quote it verbatim. I have been terribly wrong about many things in the past, and I still am.
And you know what? I teach some things that are wrong. I'm always the first person to tell you that. And one reason, well, there's a couple reasons I know that's true. First of all, I know I'm not infallible, and no man is. So then that means if I teach, then there has to be an element of fallibility involved. But also my history tells me that I've been horribly wrong about things, and I still am. I just don't know what they are yet.
That's from your teacher. That's from Clyde Pilkington. You trust a guy who admits that he's terribly wrong about many things? I'm not terribly wrong about anything. And yet your teacher said that he's terribly wrong about many things. He just doesn't know what they are. That was the last part. I just don't know what they are. That's your teacher? WTF, boys. WTF, boys. You're on the right track. And then you went for a teacher who says he's terribly wrong. He's currently terribly wrong about many things. He just doesn't know what they are yet. God. I try. God knows I try. For this is the will of God, your holiness. You are to be abstaining from all prostitution. No prostitution out there. And I'm not talking about paying for sex. That's not the prostitution Paul's talking about. I'm talking about cult prostitution. If you have to pay for sex, if you haven't had a blowjob in 40 years, and some woman says, I'll do it for you for $20. That's not the prostitution Paul's talking about. Get real. Read Leviticus chapter 20, the sexual sins. There's nothing against getting a blowjob, for Christ's sake. Jesus, my God, how mature are you people? I know you are mature, but there's a few on the fringe who are going, oh my God, I can't believe Martin's talking about it. Prostitution is unlawful intercourse between the sexes. Look in the Concordant Dictionary, Concordant Literal New Testament. Look in the back under the word prostitution. It's the word porneia. The definition is unlawful intercourse between the sexes. Intercourse between the sexes. Get it? Intercourse. Get it? Chicka, 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 chicka. You understand that now? Okay. Nothing to do with paying $20 for a blowjob. You got it? Good. Each of you is to beware of his own vessel, to be acquiring it in holiness and honor. Yeah, don't fuck a cult prostitute. That's what this is about. Don't fuck cult prostitutes. Don't fuck your way into worshiping a demon, okay? Can you do that? I think you can. Keep your body in holiness and honor. Each of you is to be aware of his own vessel, to be acquiring it in holiness and honor. I just read that. Just wanted to read it again, just to make sure you understood it. Not in lustful passion, even as the nations also who are not acquainted with God. The lustful passion Paul's talking about is not the normal lust people have, either for power or for sex or to know the scriptures. That's a lust too. The people who want to become pastors and teachers and priests, they have a lust. They point their finger at everybody else, but they have what they call, and I learned this from Clyde in his book on 2 Timothy, The Church in Ruins, one of the best books I've ever read. The Church in Ruins, ordered from Clyde Pilkington, one of the best books I've ever read. He talks about the lust of wanting to be holy, the lust of wanting to be a man or woman of God. Oh my God, that's the worst. That's worse lust than sexual lust. Sexual lust is normal. It's what you do with it. Even as the nations also who are not acquainted with God. No one is to be circumventing and overreaching his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these, according as we said to you before also, and certify. For God calls us not for uncleanness, but in holiness. And God is much more liberal concerning uncleanness and holiness than Christianity is. My God, I'd rather be under the Ten Commandments any day than to listen to these arbitrary, made-up sexual sins and everything else that the Christian church has come up with. Just like the Pharisees, they have invented sins that do not exist in the scripture. Again, give me the law of Moses any day over the arbitrary sexual sins named by Christianity, because they're obsessed with sex. Absolutely obsessed. Me? No. You? No. Christianity? Yes. They're obsessed with sex. They can't get over it. They can't stop thinking about it. They cannot stop thinking about it, because that's all they warn you about. Sex, 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 sex. Paul's just saying avoid prostitution. What's prostitution? Fucking a horse, fucking a donkey, fucking a cult prostitute, or stealing someone else's wife, or fucking your sister or your aunt or your stepmother. It's all bad, okay? Read Leviticus chapter 20. You get it all right there. I wrote a whole book about it, The Lie of Every Man's Battle. Read it. It's entertaining and accurate. Surely, in consequence, then, he was repudiating, it's not repudiating man, but God, who was also giving his Holy Spirit to you. Paul's just being practical here, telling people to, you know, just walk worthily of the calling. Now, concerning brotherly fondness, we have no need to be writing you, for you yourselves are taught by God to be loving one another. Simple as that. The Spirit of God is in you, and the first fruit of the Spirit is love. So you love people. It's not hard.
Well, I take that back.
Oh, no. I take it back again. I take back what I just took back. It's easy to love people. It's hard to like people. Oh, my God. There are many people I love, but I don't like.
I'm not going to tell you who they are, but I could name them. I love them. I do not like them. So, love. Be loving one another. You don't have to like one another. Just freaking love one another.
For you are doing it also to all the brethren. See, Paul's giving them the benefit of the doubt. Like, you're doing it. Don't get nervous. I'm not, like, laying the law on you. Because you're already doing it. But, you know, do it more if you feel like it. You know? You're doing it also to all the brethren who are in the whole of Macedonia. Now do it to people who aren't in Macedonia. All right? Just because they're in Macedonia, you love them. Why don't you love people who aren't in Macedonia? Paul's being very delicate here, being very kind. Now we are entreating you, brethren, to be superabounding yet more. See? There he goes again. You're doing it. You're doing perfect. But do it more. And not just to the people in Macedonia. Okay? How about the other folks? There's a lot of people who don't live in Macedonia. They deserve your love, don't they? Of course they do. And that you may be ambitious to be quiet. This is beautiful. I love to be quiet. To be engaged in your own affairs. Just don't be so nosy into everybody else's business. Engage in your own affairs. Don't be nosy. Don't be a busybody. Don't be a gossip. And be working with your hands. God, I wish I had a job where I worked with my hands. Damn, I wish I... I'd be so much happier. Manfred has a job where he works with his hands. He stacks stuff up. Manfred Jones, 77 years old, got a full-time job. God bless him. He says he loves it. He works with his hands. He takes auto parts from here to there. Works for an auto parts store. He loves it. Keeps him fit. He gets paid. And God bless Manfred. Works with his hands. I wish I had a job where I worked with my hands. It'd be fantastic. Needlepoint, I don't give a damn. I can't do any carpentry. My parents, never mind. It's too embarrassing to admit what I was about to tell you. Anyway, be engaged in your own affairs, working with your hands according as we charge you, that you may be walking respectably toward those outside, and that you may have need of nothing. That's ideal. Verse 13. Here we go now in the last 2.5 minutes of the show. Now we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are reposing, lest you may sorrow according as the rest also who have no expectation. All right. God help those people of no expectation. God help those people with no idea about God. Don't know God. Don't know what the future holds. Don't know why they're here. God, oh, shoot. I don't know how they get by. I'm suffering. And yet I know why I'm here. I know what death is. And I know where I'll be. So, like, I can handle it. But, wow. We do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want anybody to be ignorant. And yet billions of people are ignorant concerning those who are reposing, that is, the dead. Lest you may be sorrowing according as the rest also have no expectation. Verse 14, I am in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For if we are believing that Jesus died and rose, there's the gospel for you. Thus also those who are put to repose, the dead, will God through Jesus lead forth together with him. Resurrection! They're now dead, but they will be raised from the dead. Verse 15, for this we are saying to you by the word of the Lord. God told me this, Paul said, God told me this. I didn't dream this. This is not coming from me. This is the word of the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, and he got it from God. God, the Lord, and Paul. And now us. Get it? That's the chain of command. That we, the living, who are surviving to the presence of the Lord, and there will be a generation, sorry, Clyde, there will be a generation who will be surviving to the presence of the Lord. Clyde said, no, there won't be. Oh, you sad, sad man. Yes, there will be. Should by no means outstrip those who are put to repose. I got to hurry now. My time's going away. For the Lord himself will be descending from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the chief messenger, with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall be rising first. I plan on being around to be remaining to the coming of the Lord. But if any of us go to repose beforehand,
we're going to rise first. We have a little advantage there because, you know, those poor people, they died. Let's raise them first. That's what God and Christ say. We'll make it up to them. Thereupon, we the living who are surviving shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be together with the Lord. This is beautiful. Who doesn't want this? Clyde. And the others, I just meant, they don't want this to happen. They want it to happen, just not anytime soon, please. Not anytime soon. We got things to do down here. We got graduations to attend to. Our grandkids are graduating from kindergarten. Come on, give us a break. Shall we, therefore, we the living who are surviving shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be together with the Lord. So that, and I say this to you and to myself, console one another with these words.